prayers that my wife was laser beaming into the back of my head. I pressed on, and eventually it worked out, sort of. After 2.5 long, long years, I broke even. We celebrated our smashing success wildly and without care, and 9 months later, Miles Andrew was born. During this time, I wrote yet another book, Joaquini, with Billy Mills, a longtime friend and Olympic gold medalist, and it was published by Feather Publishing, a small outfit in Sacramento. It did well regionally and was picked up by Random House in 1994. Success at last. Eventually, I sold my business and looked around for something to do while I was still breathing. Pharmaceutical sales, the ad read. Okay, I said, and it's been a really good choice. The hours are good, the pay is good, and I only see my boss once a month. Couldn't ask for anything more. I asked for and received a transfer from Sacramento to New Bern, North Carolina, and in December 1992, we moved across the country to a place we'd never seen. We celebrated our arrival with champagne and candles, and 9 months later, Ryan Cody was born. Mid-20s life check. Good job, nice wife, kids, beautiful house overlooking a creek. What more could there be? In May 1994, I found out. Cheers, the television show, broadcast its final episode. Bob Costas did an hour-long show prior to the episode, and I remember lying awake most of the night after it aired. Cheers had been on for 11 years, an entire era of my life, and yet I still hadn't fulfilled my dreams. At 4 a.m., I knew I had to give writing another shot. A good one, though, not a half-hearted effort like before. I researched the market, decided on my topic, a love story, conjured up a couple of characters based on my wife's grandparents, and thought about my plot for almost 2 months before writing a word. At the time, Alzheimer's was big in the news, and I decided that it would be the vehicle I would use to create a sense of tragedy necessary for a quality love story. I typed out 80,000 words, cut it by 28,000 words, and in January 1995, I finished the book. In February, my company transferred my family from New Bern to Greenville, South Carolina. I put the book on hold till I had a permanent address, sent out letters to 25 agents in July, and signed with Teresa Park of Sanford Greenberger Associates. On October 19th, the book arrived in New York, and on October 23rd, 1995, at 12:02 p.m., my life changed forever. At that moment, I remember, I was serving fried chicken to a group of nurses.
This has been a Hachette audio production of The Notebook, written by Nicholas Sparks, read by Barry Bostwick, produced and directed by John McElroy. The Notebook is also available in print and digital formats from Grand Central Publishing, a division of Hachette Book Group. Text copyright 1996 by Nicholas Sparks. Audio production copyright 2004 by Hachette Audio. All rights reserved. In accordance with the U.S. Copyright Act of 1976, the duplicating, uploading, and electronic sharing of any part of this audiobook, without the permission of the publisher, constitutes unlawful piracy and theft of the author's intellectual property. If you would like to use material from the audiobook, other than for review purposes, prior written permission must be obtained by contacting the publisher at permissions@hbgusa.com. Thank you for your support of the author's rights. This audiobook is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's imagination or used fictitiously, and any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, events or locales, is entirely coincidental.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.